בוקר טוב רבותיי, ערב שבת שלום, פרשת דברים, חזון. משה רבנו, a month and change, 37 days before he passes away, הקדוש ברוך הוא tasks him with beginning what's probably the longest drasha in the history of Am Yisrael. משה רבנו gave a 37 day drasha. מוסר שמוז, תעם ישראל, אלה הדברים אשר דיבר משה עם כל ישראל בעבר הירדן, and he starts telling them off. Everybody knows the famous Rashi HaKadosh, what's Bamidbar, Ba'arava, Mol Suf. Those were all hints to the various places in the Midbar where they did Avonot, Chita Egem, and the Chita Meraglim. You know, Parashat Devarim is always the Parashah of Shabbat Chazon, always the Parashah right before Tisha B'Av, or on Tisha B'Av, like it is this year. And the very first thing, it's interesting that Moshe Rabbeinu went out of order in the Musar that he gave. What's the first thing he told off Am Yisrael for? Chita Meraglim, which historically was after the Chita Egel. Chita Egel, he only chastises them in Parashat Ekev, later. The first thing he chastises them for is Chita Meraglim, which is the precursor of all Tisha B'Avs throughout history. Started what night? Tisha B'Av of Chita Meraglim. That's when it all started. Very interesting the way, you know, the Chachamim set up the parasha to be like that. Mikol makom, we find that even when a person has to give Musar, Moshe Rabbeinu was the master of giving Musar. There was nobody who loved the Am Yisrael more than Moshe Rabbeinu. Was there anybody who loved Am Yisrael and defended Am Yisrael more than Moshe Rabbeinu? Lo haya ba'olam. Moshe Rabbeinu, how many times was he ready to give his life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu to spare Am Yisrael? Always stand, and he knew Am Yisrael were wrong, and he always stood up because Moshe Rabbeinu was the loyal captain. The Zohar HaKadosh has a very interesting name for Moshe Rabbeinu. You know what the Zohar HaKadosh calls Moshe Rabbeinu all the time? Mem Resh. Resh Mem. You know what that is? Ra'aya Mehimna. Moshe Rabbeinu was the loyal shepherd of Am Yisrael. Whenever they were in trouble, he jumped in to save the day. Always. And yet, when it comes time for Musar, his adinut, nicely, sweet, hinting, so as not to shame anybody, you find, Rabotai, not only in times where, you know, even for tzaddikim, like Am Yisrael, Dor De'ah, this Moshe Rabbeinu tried to preserve their honor by not shaming them when he gives them Musar, we find it even in different places of the Torah, even by Rishaim. The Torah says, you know, a few weeks ago we read Parashat Balak. It says over there, what happened after the donkey spoke to Bil'am and gave him Musar? We find that the donkey disappears from the scene. It says Rashi HaKadosh, what happened to the donkey? Huh? It died. Kadosh Baruch Hu killed it. Why? Wouldn't it be better? Do you know what kind of Kiddush Hashem it would be to preserve a talking donkey, the donkey that gave Bil'am Musar? You know how many people that might have been Machzir B'Tshuva if HaKadosh Baruch Hu had kept it alive and put it in the museum? Hashem didn't. He killed it. You know why? Says Rashi HaKadosh quoting the Midrash, it would be too much shame for Bil'am. Bil'am would be too ashamed. He wouldn't be able to show his face. Look who's the depraved, sick person. Hashem wants to preserve his honor. Yeah. Because Kavod HaBriyot is such an important thing. You cannot shame a person more than he needs to. Also, it says by Korach Va'adato, who did Moshe Rabbeinu send after the 250 people who brought the Ketoret died? Who did Moshe Rabbeinu send to pick up the machtot, to pick up the pans, to use it for the Mishkan? Should have sent Aharon. But what? He sent Elazar. He sent Elazar. Why? Also, the Midrash says, because sending Aharon would be too much insult. Although they're already dead, who are they fighting against? Although Aharon was right, but to send Aharon to pick up the pans of the people who died, it would be too much of a bizayon for them. Hashem said, send Elazar. Listen carefully. Everybody knows the famous Gemara in Masechet Berachot of Kavzayin Amud Bet. The Gemara tells the story of the removal of Rabban Gamliel from being the Nasi. Remember the story? Who did he keep on? Rabban Gamliel kept on having a showdown with whom? No. Rabbi Yoshua kept on having issues with different Piskei Halacha of Rabbi Yoshua. And he kept on shaming him in public, in the yeshiva, although it was Lashem Shamayim, but it got so bad. You remember in the Gemara in Brachot, what was the machloket over there? About what? There were three times they argued. One was by Bechorot, certain mum by Bechor. Second time was with regards to Yom Kippur. It's a Gemara in Masechet Yomah, when Kiddush HaChodesh was. And the third one was in Brachot. It's out of order. The Gemara says what? Tfilat Arvit, Reshut Ochova. The Chachamim already were, they were so... It irked them to the bottom of their souls. They said, until when will Rabban Gamliel keep on shaming Rabbi Yehoshua? So much so that they stopped the drasha. They told Rabbi Chutzpitam Togeman, who was the announcer of the shiur of Rabban Gamliel, they said, stop translating, no more shiur. They voted, even though he was the Nasi, Rosh HaSanhedrin, they said, he has to be removed. You can't do this to Chachmei Yisrael. Then an even bigger dilemma, after having had removed Rabban Gamliel from his post, was, what did they want to do next? They said, who should we replace him? Gdol Ador was Rabbi Akiva. But Rabbi Akiva was not so miyuchas. It was Ben-Gerim. Can't be Rosh HaSanhedrin. Yeah. So they say, Rabbi Akiva was Ben-Gerim, sure. His father, Yosef, was a Ger. Yeah. Rabbi Meir also descended from Gerim. Now listen carefully. Ma, he said, maybe Rabbi Yoshua, Gam Gdol Ador. They said, also not him. Why? Because he's Ba'al Adava. He is the story happened with him. Finally, they decided upon Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, gam Torah, gam Dula, gam Osher b'makom echad. What's the problem with Rabbi Yoshua? Rabbi Yoshua was bigger than Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah. Why did they not put him in? And you see that the Gemara says that would cause, since he was the, although he did nothing wrong, but he was the, quote unquote, Ba'al HaPlugta, the adversary of Rabban Gamliel in this specific instance, to put him in would cause Rabban Gamliel immeasurable suffering and shame. The Chachamim said to remove Rabban Gamliel, that we have to do. But to shame him like that, can't do that. Rabotai, look at what lengths the Torah and the Chachamim go to spare a person from unnecessary shame. Look at the Gemara. It's Gemara Masechet Gittin Daf Nun Vav. You remember a fellow by the name of Bar Chamtzak? You remember him? Why did HaKadosh Baruch Hu allow him to have the Beit HaMikdash destroyed? To kill millions of Jews? To go and rat out, to go and inform to the emperor about the Jews and destroy Yerushalayim and kill so many Jews? Why? Why was he so successful? Because of one thing the Gemara says. What was it? His shame. Look what the shame of one Rasha ben Belial can do. It caused the destruction of Am Yisrael. One Jewish person, low life, Chamor, went to go and rat out Am Yisrael and murdered and massacred the whole nation. Why? But Hashem let him be Matzliach because of his shame. When a person is shamed, he could be the biggest Rasha. Hashem answers him. It's over. That's the way it works. Look how far a person has to go. If a person calls out to HaKadosh Baruch Hu from shame, it doesn't matter what level he's on, Hashem answers. It's such a dangerous thing. Tisha B'Av Rabotai, we remember the Churban that came about as a result of Sinat Chinam. Sinat Chinam includes in it Lashon Hara and Rechilut and Halbanat Pnei Chavero Barabim, shaming of all of the terrible things that we can do to one another. And in order for the Beit HaMikdash to be rebuilt, this is something that has to be taken into consideration. It's not for naught that HaKadosh Baruch Hu made these parashiyot always intertwine with Tisha B'Av. It's something to take into consideration now, before Tisha B'Av. We have only a few, about 24 hours before we start the fast, and before we sit on the ground and lament what's not there anymore. So it's an opportunity now to work on it. You see, on Tisha B'Av, everybody's equal. Usually, in shul, even in shul, not only in houses, but even in shul, different people sit in different places. There's chashuvim, there's less chashuvim, the rav sits in the front, the president sits in front of him, you know, people sitting around the teva, and then, I guess, based on order of importance, or significance, you sit, you know, closer, further, on Tisha B'Av, Shtabach Shema, what happens? We're all equals. There's no seats. Everybody on the floor together. Closer to the teva, on the mizrach, on the ma'arav, lom shanne. Everybody's on the floor together. At least once a year to remember, Rabbi Sani, we're all in the same sunken ship. It's not sinking, it's sunk. It's up to us to rebuild. Hashem says, you want to rebuild? Get on the floor together. Everybody, stay together. Realize they all come from one place. When you're sitting on the floor together, Hashem says, that's where you rebuild from. Not from a place of chashivut, I'm more important, I'm less important, more money, less money. All these things are still. You know that? People, unfortunately, they have such twisted, convoluted concepts of money and power and stature and houses and cars. Ez shtiyot, ay Hashem yirachem, these things, that's what I'm telling you, people are so not ready for Mashiach. Mashiach is going to come. And the instant he comes, all of these things, they're irrelevant now. But the instant he comes, everybody will realize how irrelevant they've always been. The houses ain't going anywhere. Yeah, everybody's going to Eretz Yisrael. King's Point staying here. Everything's staying here. Yeah. There's no King's Point and no nothing. No Beverly Hills. Garnished. I mean, everybody's going to Eretz Yisrael. All going to two-bedroom apartments and stuffing inside and being happy about it. Ha? You know? And people don't realize that joke's going to be on them. Boy, stop wasting time. Focus on the things that count. Yeah? There's a lot of nonsense in this world. There's Goyish nonsense. There's also Jewish nonsense. You know that? There's plenty of Jewish. How you say nonsense? The chair? Yeah. Now, that's the. There was a sign in one of the stores locally. One stop shop for all of your chair to pair needs. Anyway, Bikitsu. Don't try to guess. Anyway, Mikol Makom, Rabotai, listen. We're in this together. Yeah, Motzai Shabbat. And Sunday, Tisha B'Av, we're all sitting on the floor. You look at your friend, everybody's menuval, everybody's in their own, you know, junky clothes and sitting on the floor, because that's the geula can only come from a place of brokenness. Live, there's a pasuk in Tehillim, Zivche Elohim Ruach Nishbara, Lev Nishbara Benitke Elohim Lutivze. Gotta be broken, you gotta realize that we're all nothing, and from the nothingness, that's where the geula sprouts. That's why the Midrash says, Mashiach is born Davka, Tisha B'Av. Why? See, the biggest nothingness in Avilut, Hashem says that's exactly where the Geula comes from. Huh? I don't know. We'll find out. I don't know. It's Midrash. Chachamim said it. Huh? No. I do. I do know somebody who's born on Tisha B'Av, and his name happens to be Menachem. So he's a good candidate. Huh? He's a good candidate. Nachon? Aval. We'll live and see Bezat Hashem. Aval, we've got to do our part. Bezat Hashem will continue with this discussion a little bit more on Sunday. Hope to see you. Shabbat Shalom. Enjoy Shabbat. Have an easy and meaningful fast. And Bezat Hashem, hopefully by next week, we'll have the SBM Friday Kollel at the foot of Harabait in the Lishkat HaGazit, Yerushalayim Ir HaKodesh, Bezat Hashem. And hopefully, Bezat Hashem, afterwards we'll have Zach and Dach. Yeah, we'll have Kiddush.
Amen.
Huh? It's never too late. Yeah, Bezat Hashem on Sunday. We'll see you. עד כאן, ברוך אדוני לעולם, אמן ואמן, וחנמן כאשר יאמר.